You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Brookings. I'm Martin Indyk, the director of the Foreign Policy Program at Brookings. Delighted to have the opportunity today to introduce to you and through you to the policymaking community in Washington and beyond a new collaborative partnership between the Brookings Institution and Foreign Policy Magazine, or in its new iteration, foreignpolicy.com. This partnership, which is called Deep Dive, is one which is intended to combine the in-depth study that Brookings is focused on with the in-the-moment conversation of foreign policy's team of journalists. Each month at Brookings, the plan is that an expert will, a Brookings expert will analyze a different issue related to the emerging global order, and that study will be published in Foreign Policy Magazine and on the foreignpolicy.com website. This series of exclusive in-depth policy papers will provide an opportunity to discuss the issues that affect the emerging global order in a new way for Brookings and a new way for foreignpolicy.com. Today we are going to discuss the first paper, but I'll come back to that in a moment. I want to introduce you, first of all, to the people up here on the panel. First of all, Susan Glasser, the editor of foreignpolicy.com. Susan comes from the Washington Post, where she was a longtime foreign correspondent and editor. Prior to that, she worked at Roll Call for 8 years. Susan has, in many ways, transformed foreign policy using the communication techniques afforded by the Internet. And so we're very happy to have the opportunity to partner with her and foreignpolicy.com. Colin Bradford here is a non-resident senior fellow of the Brookings Institution and of the Center for International Governance Innovation in Waterloo, Canada. He's director of the Brookings CIGI Global Governance Reform Project in the Global Economy and Development Program, the sister program to the Foreign Policy Program here at Brookings. His last book, edited with Johannes Lin, another senior fellow in Global, is called Global Governance Reform, Breaking the Stalemate. Colin has joined us this afternoon to be a discussant for the paper that Bruce Jones has written as the first in this foreign policy Brookings collaboration. Bruce is the director of our Managing Global Order project in the Foreign Policy Program at Brookings. He's a senior fellow here, and he's also director of the Center on International Cooperation at New York University. He is a senior external advisor to the World Bank's World Development Report 2011 on conflict, security, and development. And last year he was appointed by UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon as a member of the senior advisory group to guide the review of international civilian capacities. His most recent book he co-authored with Carlos Pascual, the former vice president of the Foreign Policy Program at Brookings, and Steve Stedman, called Power and Responsibility, Building International Order in an Era of Transnational Threats. Well, the paper that he's written for foreignpolicy.com, and which is up on their website, is this one, which we've also published in hard copy, and I think you can get copies outside. It's called Largest Minority Shareholder in the Global Order, LLC, the changing balance of influence and US strategy. So, Susan is going to moderate, and I'll hand over to you.
Well, thank you so much, Martin, first of all, for that very kind introduction. I just want to say, first of all, that it's really a thrill for everyone at Foreign Policy to be embarking on this new partnership. And you've been very modest and not introduced yourself in this group, but I think to add your not only engagement with the Middle East, but these broader questions in a real world way, we're very lucky to be having this conversation right now about what sort of the new world order is going to look like at a moment of such upheaval and transition. So I think the timing couldn't be more relevant and auspicious for us to launch this new collaboration. Just a couple quick words about what we're trying to do with the project. Not only do you see the event before you today and this paper which Bruce has produced and which we're going to talk about, but the idea is really to have a continuing conversation with you, the audience here, and the audience online throughout the month about this, and that's part of the deep dive aspect of it. Not only do we have the deep thinking and writing that goes into producing a longer paper, but we're very committed to and engaged with bringing lots of other voices into these questions about how to construct a new world order, new international institutions and mechanisms, new ways of thinking about power in this age of transition. You'll see on the website we've created a special section of foreignpolicy.com that's dedicated to this already. We have, in addition to Bruce's paper, we have, I think, something like 7 or 8 other articles from really global players in this set of debates that we're hoping to bring you their viewpoints. Not surprisingly, there's lots of issues to be debated, lots of points on which we can dive deeper. For example, President Obama will be headed to Latin America later this week. He'll be stopping in Brazil, which is very, very ardently pressing the president to endorse Brazil's bid for a seat on the UN Security Council, as President Obama, you may recall, just did for India. We have the longtime foreign minister of Brazil making the case, basically laying down a marker and saying the president better not come here unless he's prepared to endorse us. At the same time, we have on the site the former foreign minister of Mexico saying, wait a minute, actually, Brazil and the others aren't ready for prime time yet. They don't deserve a seat on the UN Security Council yet. So I think that gives us a flavor for the kind of debate that we want to have with real-world global policymakers and decision-makers, as well as our audience of readers and commenters about these issues, and what better way to start than with a big picture framing. And we'll hear from Bruce actually a little bit about this, because I think in many ways this conversation is going to be very relevant to all of the months that we'll be discussing, whether it's trade next month or other issues. Right now we're talking about a big picture framing, and I know that's some of the work that you're doing here at Brookings this year, is to try to crystallize across a wide variety of subjects what the next stage of the international order looks like. So I think we're excited to be partners in that venture and to really sort of swarm around these conversations in as many ways as possible in the way that the new digital era of media allows us all to do. So please, by all means, we're looking forward to your questions too, and I hope you'll give us lots of subjects in those questions for future pieces in this edition of Deep Dive. But I'd love to start right now, just kick off the conversation to Bruce. We were talking beforehand. The title of his paper, sort of in many ways, is what you said is a Rorschach test, the largest minority shareholder in Global Order LLC. First of all, how did you come up with this notion of what this new role for the United States is going to be, and what's the response that you've gotten to it?
Well, as I said to you before, it has been a Rorschach test in the sense that as the paper was circulated, I've found that some people hone in on the word minority and say, oh, look, you're an American declinist. And some people hone in on the word large and saying, oh, you're just, you're neglecting the fact of the rising powers and you haven't noticed we're not still the largest anymore. And a lot of what I'm trying to do is talk about the duality of the situation that we're in. I'm going to start someplace slightly different, and I'm sorry to invoke a competitor, but I'm going to make fun of them, so it's okay. This is the front page of Time magazine this week, right? And I think this poster is an accurate characterization of the nature of the debate, but a fundamental mischaracterization of the nature of the situation that we're in. And the debate says either, free Zakaria, yes, we're in a decline, or no, we're still number one. And there's this kind of debate going back and forth in academic circles and policy circles about whether we're in decline or whether we're number one. And I think it's a fundamental mischaracterization of what's going on. The more complex but the empirically evident reality is in two parts. There are actors on the international stage that have resources and capabilities and diplomatic influence that is substantially greater than that they had 5, 10, 15 years ago. And in a whole host of ways, that constrains our influence, constrains our power, means that we're engaged in international politics in a much more complex domain. That's one empirically evident reality. The other empirically evident reality is we are still, by far and away, the largest and most influential actor within that stage. So the idea that there's a relative shift in the balance of power is not in opposition to the idea that we're still the largest and most influential actor within the order. Those are two realities of the present moment we're in. And I think we need to shift away from what's a kind of an artificial debate about relative decline or are we up or are we down to a more concrete discussion about what does it mean for us and what does it mean for the international system. And this paper is an attempt to do that. It starts by attempting to frame this duality with this analogy to the role of a largest minority shareholder. And then it goes deeper. On the analogy, I was simply trying to come up with a phrase or a concept that explained or captured the essence of this duality across a whole host of issue areas. Now, it's of course the case that there are some issues and some aspects of power where we are still overwhelmingly dominant. Air power, naval power. If we want to, if we want to take out Libyan air defense, we don't have to check with anybody or ask anybody or have anybody help us. We can just do that. But it's a very narrow slice of issues where we have predominant power. And in a whole host of other issues with these other actors in the international stage, we're in a position where to get the outcomes that we want to achieve